Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. Thank goodness it's a day off for the Bears, but the questions about the team's future continue. John Fox is still here, but probably not for much longer. Meanwhile, one report says Vic Fangio could be leaving with him. And Mitchell Trubisky is hitting a rookie wall. Has he regressed over the past few weeks? Nico Mirotic continues to practice, but he will not be traveling with the Bulls. Meanwhile, Zach LaVine is back to dunking, but his return date may be pushed back. Kendall Gill joins us live to discuss. Alex DeBrincat posts his first NHL hat trick as the Blackhawks improved to 4-0-1 their last five. Is he a contender for Rookie of the Year, and are the Blackhawks back to being contenders again? Welcome in to Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. Hope you had a good day. Let's meet the panel for today's show from SB Nation Radio. He's our guy, Jason Gotch. From Bleacher Report and the Big Ten Unfiltered podcast you can find on iTunes, he's Seth Gruen. And from The Athletic, he's still trying to get the stench of rotten Hallis Hall sushi off of his clothes. He's our friend. He's Kevin Fishbane. All right, let's get started with some football conversation. As lots of rumors starting to swirl now that John Fox will indeed be done at the end of this season, if not before. But he may be taking Vic Fangio with him, as one report from Pro Football Weekly and Hub Arkish says Fangio not in the Bears' future plans as their head coach. Kevin, what's your take on this? Could he still come back as a D coordinator, or just cutting ties?
Yeah, you know, I think this goes with two things. I think one, you know, is the idea that the Bears are going to want an offensive guy as the head coach. And two is when they hire that person to be the head coach, that it's that guy's job to hire a defensive coordinator. It'd be great if somebody at Josh McDaniels came in here and said, Vic, stay. I want you to stay. You know this defense. You're the guy. Let's do this together. But that just is too perfect. Those don't really happen. If you're taking over a company, you want to bring in your own people. So, you know, we'll still see how this season unfolds, because there's five games left. There are five more opportunities. If the McCaskey family does want to pull the plug, Vic Fangio would make sense as the interim. So we'll see how those things develop.
Yeah, and that's why I'm in favor of pulling the plug early. Give Vic Fangio a shot. Evaluate him as your head coach. And maybe...
What are you evaluating, though? Not evaluating anything.
He was a head coaching candidate a couple seasons ago.
So, wait, you're telling me that if they go out and they beat the Browns, that it really matters?
No, but there's no good sense in keeping John Fox, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I think that that's only going to set you back further.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Fangio
could go 5-0. He's not getting the head coaching position. It doesn't matter.
Nonetheless, I think they're better off getting rid of John Fox and moving forward with the search.
That
publicly.
We agree.
But if you know John Fox is going to be gone at the end of the year, I don't know how much it really helps to get rid of him. The problem with John Fox, if he were on the job and saying, I'm playing Mike Glennon the rest of the way, but he's playing Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, a staff shakeup at this point when you know he's gone, this stuff is all done back channels anyway. And I don't think Vic Fangio is going to be the head coach at all for the Bears. So they're probably both gone. That makes sense. But pulling the plug on Fox, I mean, it's not going to really do anything.
The one thing that would be interesting about for the Bears, if they did decide to part ways with John Fox for the end of the season, which, by the way, I don't think is going to happen, is Dow Loggins. That's the person I'd be more interested about, not as the head coach, but how would he run an offense if you're of the belief that John Fox has kind of, you know, hindered what he could do because he wants to be so conservative. What would a Dow Loggins offense look like without John Fox? And then, more importantly, what would Mitch Trubisky look like in that offense? So, again, if you believe that Loggins has not been able to run the offense he wants to all the time, that's the one thing that if Fox was put, you know, was relieved of his duties with one or two games to go, that's the one thing you could watch.
Right, but that's kind of semantics anyways, because as you said, they're going to go after an offensive guy. An offensive guy is going to want to bring his own offensive coordinator for sure. I think the question would remain as to whether or not he'd retain Vic Fangio, and we have our answer here in that report. But offensively, I would think said head coach is going to want to do his own thing.
Here's our Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Yes or no? Do you think Mitchell Trubisky is regressing? Again, you can go to NBCSportsChicago.com /vote. How would you vote on that?
I have no idea, because you can't judge Mitchell Trubisky at all this year. He is playing with guys who probably would struggle to play D1 football at the skill positions other than the running backs. And even if you give Dowell Loggins a chance to open up his offense, they've got nobody to throw the ball to. I mean, I don't know how you fairly judge Mitchell Trubisky. I have no idea if he's going to be good. I have no idea if he's going to be bad, because he's not playing with NFL caliber players at most of the skill positions.
I had Gil Brandt on the radio today. He was the architect of those great Cowboy teams back in the 80s. He loves Trubisky, thinks he's going to be a really good player. He also likes Dowell Loggins. He said Dowell Loggins, he thinks, and everyone in the league seems to agree with him, you hear and talk to different people, they think the guy has some ability as a play caller. We just haven't seen it because there's no talent there.
Yeah, and could be. Look, I agree with Jason's assessment. I think that this is really an incomplete. That said, to answer the poll question, regression is part of progression, all right? It's not a smooth curve on the way up. You have great games, you have some not-so-great games, and that's just part of the evolution of any player. Tom Brady has bad games. So, you know, you can expect him to take a step back every once in a while, but this has been a season that's net positive for Mitch Trubisky.
Trubisky had his best game of the year against Detroit 2 weeks ago. Then he goes and plays the Eagles on the road, the best team in the NFL. His running backs combined for negative yards. They're down 24-0 at halftime. Of course he's going to have a bad game. I mean, he was completely put back against the wall. You know, Jason, as you mentioned, with these receivers, it's already at a disadvantage. He loses Josh Sitton on, you know, one of the first plays of the game. It was going to be a bad game for Mitch Trubisky. I want to see how he rebounds against the 49ers team. That defense is not bad, but they're 1-10. So that's a team that Mitch Trubisky should be able to find success against.
Speaking of the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo was announced by Kyle Shanahan. He will be making his first start for San Francisco this Sunday in his hometown of Chicago. I was listening to NFL Network Radio this morning driving into work, and they were talking about Garoppolo coming in, and they believe that he will get his big contract, or at the worst, he will be franchised, so he's not going to hit the streets. This is his big opportunity here against a team he knows exceptionally well in New England. They practiced against the Bears while he was there, and this is a guy looking to, obviously, for some buzz.
And it makes sense the 49ers with a handful of games left should play him, because you're probably going to franchise him either way. But before you give him a huge contract, you at least want to see what you have over a span of about five games or so, because you don't want to give a huge contract to a guy that sat behind C.J. Beathard after you traded for him midseason. So this makes sense.
Yeah, for sure it's the right move as far as the 49ers are concerned. By the way, I covered this kid in high school.
It was amazing. One of my kids, he was his teammate on youth basketball in Arlington Heights.
He played linebacker as a sophomore. You didn't think he was going to set the world on fire. I mean, you saw why he didn't get D1 offers, and now here he is, starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers.
That's unbelievable.
It's incredible.
Also, speaking of starting quarterbacks changing, well, the New York Giants may be changing quarterbacks after a long run, including two Super Bowl MVPs, two Super Bowl titles with Eli Manning. Manning spoke in the locker room today amid reports he may be out as the starter in New York.
It's hard. Hard day to handle this, but you know, hang in there and figure it out.
Hardest day as a Giant, you would say?
It's up there, yeah. Yeah.
Do you feel like you might have started your last game for the Giants?
I don't know. I don't know. I'll take it one week at a time.
An emotional Eli Manning, who has now been benched. He had originally told the reporters, well, they told me I might still start, but Geno will get some run, but Geno's going to duck under center play one on Sunday, which I find stunning.
I do, too. Also, it's strange that the Giants offered him the opportunity to start just for the streak. I mean, if you're Eli Manning, you don't take that at all.
No.
No, absolutely. This team right now, it looks like they're throwing him under the bus with this. And that you drafted Davis Webb in the third round. I understand, you know, maybe he's not ready, and maybe you putting him out there will be throwing him to the wolves because our offensive line is completely banged up. But why not? I mean, don't you think you know what you have in Geno Smith right now? It's a bad look for Ben McAdoo. It's a bad look for the Giants.
Yeah, I can't remember anything like this happening in the NFL. I mean, benching a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback, to me, is almost unfathomable. And I know they've been bad this year, but we've seen quarterbacks have bad years and bounce back. And it wasn't too long ago that people were talking about Eli Manning as a fringe Hall of Famer. I don't know that he's there yet. The two Super Bowls obviously help. You know, his numbers haven't been all that great. But to me, this is just
who's more dysfunctional,
shocking.
The Browns or the Giants?
Oh,
I mean, at least the Bears aren't dysfunctional. They aren't very good, but this isn't like Trestman dysfunction. Fox and the Bears just aren't a very good football team.
The Browns are so much more dysfunctional. I mean, they're the first team. They, what, 0-11 last year, 0-11 this year. I mean, they've won one game in almost 2 years under Hugh Jackson. So I think they're much more dysfunctional. But the Giants, I mean, I completely agree with you, Kevin. I mean, what are you running Geno Smith out there for? He's at best a backup in the NFL. See what you've got with
David Webb. I think
this
is as dysfunctional as the Browns. Ben McAdoo is clueless.
They were in the playoffs.
Ben McAdoo is still there as their head coach, and they're benching by far the best quarterback on their roster at this moment.
Well, the one thing about the Giants, we haven't heard anything about the Browns quitting or giving up. And we heard some of those reports about the Giants. That's a very strong thing to say about NFL players. And there are people coming out of the woodwork saying, when I watch that game, that looks like a team that has given
up. And
that's
on the coach,
right,
not on
exactly.
Eli.
Now, here, if you're Ben McAdoo, are you thinking in the back of your head, listen, I'm blaming Eli for this. What if Geno lights it up? I don't think he will. But what if you're Ben McAdoo, you're thinking that Geno Smith is your savior, that he's the only way you can save your job, because you're the Giants, you probably, this is probably the last year for Eli anyways, and if you're Ben McAdoo, you think, well, maybe Geno plays well, that makes me look good, and then I can stay 1 year. It's a tough comparison, but when Trestman benched Cutler at the end of 2014.
Yeah, for who was
for it? Jimmy Clausen.
Jimmy Clausen.
You know, and it was just like he was throwing Cutler under the bus.
But Cutler, I don't think there's a comparison between Cutler.
No, you can't compare Cutler to Eli Manning, but just the idea of a head coach thinking like this is my, you know, my life preserver here.
I would say it's a lock that Ben McAdoo will win the Grey Cup in 2 years.
Yeah, but the thing about the Browns, you got to remember, dysfunctional for almost 20 years since they re-entered the league. They passed on Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz when they have needed a quarterback for forever. And what about Eli Manning next year to the Broncos? Doesn't that make possibly some sense
based
on the
Manning? That's pretty
interesting. Yeah.
We'll see. He'll go somewhere where he feels like he can win. Maybe Jacksonville to be with Tom Coughlin. Nico continues to take part in practice. He's not going to travel with the club. Meanwhile, Zach LaVine takes flight. But he may return until later than expected. Our guy, Kendall Gill, joins us next. Talk Bulls here in studio on SDL.
Chicago's sports talk with Sizzle. Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pac wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
Zach LaVine is healthy. He feels he can play right now. The Bulls are pushing his return back a bit. But this was tweeted out by the Bulls' official Twitter account. Zach LaVine back from the ACL injury and ready to elevate again. Kendall Gill, former NBA standout, former member of that great Flying Illini team, and one of our analysts here at NBC Sports Chicago. You could do that dunk, couldn't you, Kendall, still at 49?
No. And I doubt whether I could do it as good as Zach could do it right there when I was 22, 23.
All right, let's talk about this Bulls team, because Nico is not going to make the trip. He's close to being cleared medically to be able to play. Do you believe, as a former NBA player, that John Paxson, Gar Foreman, Fred, somebody should take these two guys and go, we're getting in a room and we're working this out, or you don't push Nico if he doesn't want to be part of that?
Well, you know, I would have done that a long time ago. I would have got both of the guys in the room and straightened it out. I think that since you've let it fester and now Nico has not talked to Bobby Portis, he's hardly been around the team. Now it's a bigger problem than it was previously. And I actually saw Nico downstairs before I came up to do this segment. And, you know, he looked fine, but, you know, he looked alone by himself. And, you know, no teammates were talking to him or walking with him in the hallway. And that's what I think that Nico has created. He's created a separation between him and his teammates.
Zach LaVine says, hey, I'm ready to go. I feel good. They tweeted out the windmill dunk today. But Fred Hoiberg said may not play till at least the end of the year. Would you push it and say, you know what, I'm not going to listen to that. I want to play now. Or would you keep this guy out till the All-Star break? You're trying to lose games anyway. Or if he's ready to play, you play him.
selfishly for us here on the pre- and post-game show, we want him to come back, okay, because we're tired of talking about losses, and we really want to see what Zach LaVine can do. Now, if I'm a GM, I don't want to really win that many games, so I may push it back a little bit because, listen, Zach LaVine, yes, he's going to make a difference when he comes back, but is he going to make a big difference? We don't know that, and he's that good where he could win a couple games for you. And at this point, the Bulls, if you know, games mean a lot in the L column when you're trying to get that number one pick.
Kendall, as you look at Chris Dunn, what do you see from him? He's a guy who's a downhill point guard. He attacks the rim well. He's an inconsistent shooter. Looks like he can be pretty good defensively. How would you, scouting report, handicap this guy for us?
Well, what I would say is, listen, keep him out of the lane. Keep him away from mid-range jump shots because he actually is pretty good at shooting mid-range jump shots. Try to push him 18 feet and beyond that, and you'll be okay. Also, another thing about Chris Dunn is, listen, he has all the facets, all the talents to be a very good point guard in this league, but the one thing he's missing is the ability to control the basketball. Has way too many turnovers and turns them over in crucial situations. Also, makes, quite frankly, dumb turnovers out there on the floor. And as a point guard in the NBA, you can't do that.
Last one, Lauri Markkanen got off to this sizzling start. Last week, 10 days, he hasn't been as good. What are you seeing out of Markkanen?
Well, I see, we all know that, he had a virus a couple games ago, which affected him these past three games. What I think that he's done in these past couple of games is settled too much for the outside shot instead of driving the basketball to the rim. It's 7 feet tall. He has that ability. Now, when he was really playing well at a high level about three or four games ago, he was mixing his offense up. He was taking the ball inside and also shooting the outside shot.
Kendall, appreciate the knowledge. You have a good pre-post, buddy.
Okay, thanks. Hey, I like that shirt and suit coat combination, man. I got to get that.
I'm just trying to copy you, buddy.
All right.
We'll see you. There he is. That's our guy, Kendall Gill. All right, so Zach LaVine says, I'm ready to go. He's windmill dunking, and the Bulls are like, slow down there, Sparky. We're not quite ready to get you back. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, there's no upside to rushing him back. I mean, what are you rushing him back for? This is a throwaway season anyways, and I mean that with all sincerity. You know, it should be a throwaway season. So I agree with Kendall. Why would you bring him back?
Yeah, the Bulls haven't had a whole lot of luck with ACLs and returning from ACLs, so I think they might be a little even more turned off from putting a guy out there like that. The only thing I could think, he would make the offense better. He would, help them win a couple games, maybe put a few more people in the seats. But, like, I mean, how many people are, running to the United Center to go see Zach LaVine? I think you take a very, very conservative approach with it.
Makes perfect sense. I mean, what's the point? Like, both Kevin and Seth said, I mean, you're running him out there, what, so you can win two more games and maybe cost yourself a ping pong ball or two. But when he comes back, it'll be interesting because it is very tough to get excited about a bad team like this. But you can, when he comes back, it'll be interesting to see if he can be a piece when they're good, because he's one guy I think that has the potential to be that if he lives up to expectations.
Put some people in the seats. I think the one interesting thing organizationally is you want to see how he fits in and how everybody fits in around him. What's the chemistry like on the court? Because, we've seen it before where players just
Don't mesh. Well, I'll tell you what, if he's a good player that they think he is, if Dunn develops into a solid player, I'm not saying an all-star, and Markkanen's what we think Markkanen could be, then the trade turns out to be a huge win
then
for them.
Then you pick in the top three this year.
And you get a good player. We'll see. And a child shall lead them. Rookie Alex DeBrincat, that's his first hat trick as a Blackhawk throwing their point streak to five games. Are they back to being a contender once again? Plus, LT Gray is back again. But our expectations for Tiger Woods lower than ever. Plus, the new college football rankings are out.
When the game ends, switch back to CSN Chicago for Bears postgame live. The team will take you through all the key moments from the field, hear from Coach Fox, and get live player reactions. Bears postgame live after every Bears game on CSN Chicago.
Ladies and gentlemen, during the ceremonial putts tonight are two very special people. Right before the second grade, Lauren Graver was diagnosed with rhabdomyosarcoma, a rare muscle-based cancer, and has shown great courage and strength throughout her treatment. Joining Lauren is a true Chicagoan, who we are proud to call a part of the Chicago Blackhawks family. He was diagnosed with colon cancer 4 months ago and has shown amazing perseverance in his fight. dropping tonight's ceremonial puck, please welcome from Mount Prospect, 9-year-old Lauren Graver, and Blackhawks alumni and Chicago's own, Eddie Olczyk.
Wow, if that doesn't bring a tear to your eye, nothing will. Our guy Edzo and that young lady with Corey Perry and Patrick Kane yesterday at Hockey Fights Cancer Night. It was a magnificent night at the United Center as everyone held up signs who they're fighting for, and to see Edzo out there was just heartwarming. And then the Blackhawks went out and throttled the Ducks last night thanks to the first NHL hat trick by Alex DeBrincat. Check out Stat of the Day, driven by the Chevy Silverado. His rookie season on par with some of the great Blackhawk rookie campaigns in recent history. His first 23 games, same as Jonathan Toews at this point in his career. More Calder winners, Patrick Kane, Artemi Panarin. Meanwhile, DeBrincat's 10 goals have come on just 42 shots on goal, making him far more efficient than the other three. All right, this kid is looking like he's legit, like he's the real deal. He's tiny, he's quick, he's got unbelievable hands.
And the Hawks needed some, I think, as good as they are and the core is, to have a young guy like that come up and really live up, to really exceed expectations at this point. We'll see what happens over the course of the year. But, I mean, just some more firepower. And when you have this team and this core, I don't think you can ever count them out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that this team has solidified itself as a contender this year with the way they've played over this last stretch. And yeah, you said it. He looks like the real deal.
And you see that last one where Kaner hits the perfect pass. I mean, with the two of them out there together, when they can be out there together, you see what they're capable of. Offense hasn't really been an issue for the Blackhawks the whole season, but the defense has picked it up of late as well.
It has, absolutely. All right, let's move on to the college football playoff rankings, which were just released a couple of minutes ago. We have a brand new number one. Clemson checks in at the top of the poll now. Auburn moves in at the number two spot you see on your screen, then Oklahoma and Wisconsin. So I ask you, Kevin, if Ohio State beats Wisconsin, are they in?
The question then is, do they jump Alabama? And I think they do. I think they should, because you why have the conference championship games if you're not going to put any value in what it means to beat an undefeated team on a neutral field in the Big Ten? Your only loss then would be, well, obviously the bad loss to Iowa.
And the loss to Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think that would still be enough to potentially jump Alabama.
The conference championship is and should be the money ball in the three-point contest. It should count for more. I think that they don't have hard and fast rules in place because they want us talking about it. But really, there should be some criteria where if you're a one-loss team or a two-loss team, you win a conference championship, you should go over a team that does not play in one.
Both teams have very good cases, but I lean towards Alabama here. Ohio State had a terrible loss at Iowa. They were brutal in the second half of that game against Oklahoma. They would have two losses, and I think you can argue both sides and you can make convincing cases, but who do you really think is the better team? I think the better team is Alabama. And Wisconsin, if they beat Wisconsin, Wisconsin played in a weak Big
Ten
West. So
you're telling me overlooked in this? Big Ten plays 9 conference games. SEC plays 8. That's key.
That is key. And you're telling me you're going to leave the Big Ten champ out? I don't believe it. Hey, thanks for listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Remember to watch the show weekdays on CSN and visit csnchicago.com for previous episodes of the podcast and all of the latest sports news and highlights.